the wisest man that the Bible says the world has ever known, said in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, asking a very sobering question. And the question was this: who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful man? If there was ever a day when we needed faithful men, can I tell you, today's the day. Listen, man, more than ever, our world needs us to be faithful men. Your wife needs you to be a faithful man. Your children need you to be a faithful man. Your church, your business, your community, your nation desperately needs you to be a faithful man. And I am convinced that if families are going to make it through this century, we are going to have to stop behaving faithless and start behaving faithful. One passage in the Bible that speaks directly to this issue is Psalm 112. Psalm 112 was written by a man for men, and this author was called a man after God's own heart, and his name was David. Listen to what David said about faithful men in Psalm 112, page 542 in the Bibles in front of you. In verse 1, he writes, "Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. His horn, his strength, will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." You see, friend, when a man truly fears God, when a man truly begins to love God's word, he is well on his way to true godliness. He is well on his way to living a life that is productive and successful. How many of you men would like to be the kind of man I just read about in Psalm 112? I would love to be this kind of man, but I have to be honest, that kind of man, he's hard to find in our day, even in our churches. But today, I want to issue a challenge. I want to issue a challenge to every man in this room with four specific areas that might help you to become that kind of man, that might help you to become not only a faithful man, but also a faithful father. And I want to begin with your first challenge. To become a faithful father, you must acknowledge your influence. Acknowledge your influence. Men, we need to realize the tremendous influence that we have in our marriage and in our children's lives. For example, as a husband, you have a powerful influence on your wife. I'm telling you guys, your wife's spiritual and emotional security rests almost entirely on you. God provides it, but listen to me, he uses you. God provides the security, but he uses you. That is exactly what the Lord means, what the Bible means when in Ephesians 5:23, when the Bible says, the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. See, being the head of the wife doesn't mean that you're her boss. Ladies, say amen. being the head of the wife means you are responsible for her well-being, just as Christ is responsible for our well-being. I read where Dr. Richard Halverson, who was the chaplain for the United States Senate for many, many years, I read where he said it this way. He said, after 69 years of life, after 42 years of marriage, it is my deep, settled conviction that 100% of the responsibility to sustain the marital relationship rests entirely on the husband. 100%. Can I tell you that I agree with that? I agree with that. That rests on the husband's shoulders. Men, we must learn to acknowledge the influence that we have, the positive influence that we have on our wives. But furthermore, as a father, I don't have to tell you that you have a powerful influence on your children. Dads, do you realize what a tremendous impact you have on your kids? Can I tell you that your children desperately, desperately need you to be a faithful man? From bad relationships to lower education to mental instability to crime, one factor looms as the single most significant contributor: homes without a dad. Listen, dads, if you're not faithful, not only will you wreck your own life, but you'll also wreck the lives of your children. So acknowledge your influence on your wife. Acknowledge your influence on your children. But I also want to issue you a second challenge for faithful fathers, and that is to avoid the pitfalls. To avoid the pitfalls of being a man. You see, there are some inherent hazards that we have just being a man. It's true that we don't have a natural tendency toward godliness. What we have instead is a natural propensity to be sinful and to be selfish. That's kind of who we are as men. So I want to give you these four pitfalls that sometimes come with just being a man. The first one is this. As a man, you can become an arrogant husband and father. Someone once said it like this: men are 90% ego wrapped in skin. Women say hello. Hello. Right? It's true. Most men think that they are Rambo, John Wayne, Chuck Norris, and Albert Einstein all wrapped up into one. But ladies, would you agree that if you could buy a man for what he is worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, you'd be a millionaire? Amen. See, it's pride, y'all. Men, it's pride. Pride that becomes the biggest inherent tool that the enemy uses to make you a failure as a faithful man. To make you make mistakes as a faithful man. But the second pitfall to being a man is it can lead you to be an autocratic husband or father. Now, autocratic is just a $10 word for being bossy. Amen? Being bossy. Many men have such a big ego that they act like they're the big boss around the house. But we know who the boss is. They often act like this overbearing tyrant, and they forget that faithful men are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. So, hey, fellas, listen. If you're being autocratic, if you're being overbearing, demanding, if you're being controlling in your home, can I tell you, you are headed for serious trouble. Because if you continue in that pattern, your children will rebel against you. And if you continue in that pattern, I'm telling you, you'll lose your wife, even if she stays in the same household with you. Don't let your children rebel. Don't let your wife turn against you just because you're trying to be bossy. But I wanted to point out also, not only the autocratic, not only that desire for people, for men rather, to be overbearing, but the third pitfall to being a man is also being an absentee husband or father. You see, the worst thing that a man can do is walk out on his family. Can I tell you that you can sleep at home every single night and still be an absentee father? That's right. If your career keeps you from getting involved in your kids' lives, if you don't take time to build your relationship with your wife, if you're too busy or too tired to connect with your family emotionally, then can I tell you, you're guilty of being an absentee father. I read the result of one study where the average dad spends 38 seconds a day talking with his children. 38 seconds, y'all, talking with his children. So if your kids are acting up, if your kids are rebelling, could it be that they're just desperately crying out for some love and attention from their dad? Don't be arrogant. Don't be autocratic. Certainly don't be absentee. But the fourth pitfall that comes with being a man sometimes is becoming an abusive husband or father. Did you know that the rate of domestic violence, namely men against their wives and children, is rising exponentially in our country? Guys, listen, I got to tell you something. A real man never abuses his wife or children. Furthermore, I'll say that if you are physically abusive, you ain't a man at all. Not only are you not a man, you're a wimp. Not only are you a wimp, you're a bully, and you're a loser. And by the way, you don't have to use your fist to be an abusive father. You may never hit your wife, never hit your child, but the way you treat them, the way you talk to them, can leave emotional scars for the rest of their days. Men, avoid those pitfalls. Those pitfalls of being a man. Refuse to be arrogant. Refuse to be autocratic, absent, or abusive. But the third challenge that I want to issue for faithful fathers this morning is to arrange your priorities. You see, many men have got their priorities all out of whack. The magazine Industry Week surveyed managers all over the country. And they asked those managers, what is it that you worry about most? And these managers said the first worry that they worry about most is their personal health. And the second worry was their lack of time. The fifth worry was their personal investments. And then along number seven was their relationship with their children. And then down there at number 10, was their marriage. Would you agree that most of these guys have got their priorities completely out of whack? I believe that the first three verses of Psalm 112, David tells us what our correct priorities ought to be. The first one is this: a faithful man's first priority should always be God. Look at the first verse in Psalm 112. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commands. Gentlemen, if you have any desire whatsoever to be a faithful man, your first priority must be that you have a passion for God. You'll never make it if you don't have a passion for God. So let me ask you today, if you've got your bulletins in your hand, I want you to look at the front of it first, and then I want you to lift it up and show me that you got it. Look, now read the front. Is Jesus really number one in my life? Men, is Jesus Christ your first love? Do you think about Jesus more than you do sports? Do you think about Jesus more than you do your job? More than you do about fishing? Where's Kevin Blankenship? I know he thinks about Jesus more. Do you give Jesus first place in your time priorities? Do you give Jesus first place in your finances? Do you talk about Jesus naturally in your conversations? Do you have a hunger and a passion to know Jesus better? Guys, you want to know who or what is first place in your life? Well, who or what do you think about the most? Who or what consumes most of your time? Whatever that is, that's what's first in your life. Faithful men make their first priority God. But faithful men also make a priority of their family. Many men are failing when it comes to their family. They fail to spend enough time with their family. They fail to meet the needs of their wife. They fail to express the affection that their children need. They fail to communicate godly values and godly truth to their family. And the reason is because I think most men tend to identify with their job. They identify mostly with their work, and therefore they take their jobs way too seriously. And if you're taking your job way too seriously, then you are neglecting your family. Are you hearing me, men? Arrange your priorities. You make sure that God is first, and you make a priority of your family. But after that, faithful men also make a priority of developing personal character. Verse 3 through 8 in Psalm 112 talks about a man who made developing character and personal righteousness a priority. Just look closely at this kind of man. In verse 3, it says, wealth and riches will be in his house, and righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises the light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he will not be afraid. Did you hear the words that David used to describe this guy? He is righteous in verse 3. He is gracious and compassionate in verse 4. He is generous and giving, humble and discreet in verse 5. He is steadfast and faithful, trusting in the Lord in verse 7. And in verses 6 and 8, he is reliable, and that faithful man is fearless. We men need to make a priority of developing personal character and inner righteousness. But to do that, guys, listen to me. You're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to make a deliberate effort to develop your personal character, your biblical character. So properly arrange your priorities, guys. God first. Say it, God first. And then your family. And then developing that personal character. The fourth challenge and final challenge that I'll issue our faithful fathers this morning is to assume your responsibilities. to assume your responsibilities. Now, the way I see it, there are two primary responsibilities for the faithful man that we find here in Psalm 112. The first of which is assuming your financial responsibilities. See, this man in 112 was evidently very responsible with his finances. In verse 3, the Bible says that wealth and riches will be in his house. He's leading his household finances. He is exercising discipline in his spending. But don't miss this. Generosity is a major part of his financial stewardship. Generosity is a major part of his financial stewardship. In verse 9, he has dispersed abroad and he has given to the poor. Many Christian men, they are choking out the blessings of God because they're so dadgum stingy. Choking out the blessings of God because they're so selfish with what God has given them. They're spending everything on themselves and they're not giving any of it away. That's one thing that I really like about Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. All the steps leading up to being debt free are for one goal, and that is so that you'll have money to give away. Generosity. But there's a second responsibility that I see, and that is assuming your spiritual responsibilities. Men, do you realize that God has given you the spiritual responsibility in your marriage? Do you realize that He's given you the spiritual responsibility with your family? He's given you the spiritual responsibility, listen to me, in your church. The spiritual leadership responsibility. He wants you to be a leader here. He wants you to be a leader in His community. He wants you to be a leader in this nation. And He's given you that responsibility. And do you realize furthermore that one day you will give an account to God for how you used your God-given gifts and how you led your family, spiritually speaking? He's going to ask you about that. Guys, do not leave the religious stuff to your wife. Listen to me carefully. She is absolutely perfectly capable of doing it. But God has given you the responsibility for the spiritual health of your family. He's placed it on you. Now what are you going to do with it? I say it's high time that we stop behaving faithless and started behaving faithful. Now some of you may be putting off what God said to you today. You're going to convince yourself that today's Father's Day, and I can put all that stuff off till later. But guys, listen. The time to deal with the spiritual condition of your life, the time to deal with the spiritual condition of your marriage and your family is right now. Right here. Right now. Now, some of you have been hearing this from your wife for a while. Maybe you're even hearing it from your children. But now you've heard it today from your friend and your pastor. And more importantly, you've heard it from God. His desire for you to be a faithful father, not just a dad, a faithful father. So I wonder if there would be any men here today who would recognize the changes that need to be made in their life. They would be man enough to admit that there are some serious changes, or maybe even some slight changes that need to be made in their lives so that they can become faithful men. They realize it's high time that they quit ignoring God and start doing what God's asked them to do. I wonder. wonder if there's some men here today who are just willing to stand up right now and just say, you know what? I'm going to be a real man, choosing to be a faithful father. Finding faithful fathers. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ walked through that back door right now, would he be able to come up to you and ask you, are you being a faithful father? And if so, what would your response be? Have you been acknowledging your influence over your wife and children? Have you been avoiding the pitfalls of just being a man? You know, those things like being arrogant and autocratic and being absent and abusive. Have you been arranging your priorities right? God, family, interpersonal character. Have you been assuming your responsibilities, not just financially, but most importantly, your spiritual responsibilities? That's a faithful man. That is the measure of a man. The Lord is leading you to make a decision today to come to Christ so that he can enable you to become the man he's created you to be. During this decision time, you can come and we can pray together. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, you don't have to leave here in that same condition. You can leave here knowing that heaven is your home and that you have the ability and the spiritual wherewithal to be a faithful father. You've been a Christian for a little while, but you realize that you're lacking in certain areas. Hey man, I don't know of anyone better to take it to than our Heavenly Father. He desires to help us be the kind of men and the kind of father that he created us to be. So I'm praying for you during this time. And I'm asking the Lord to do a work in you that only he can do. And you come as we sing during this decision time. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for being the perfect father. Thank you for being the perfect example. And Lord, I pray that we would follow your pattern, your model. And that Lord, as Jesus followed his father, Lord, I pray that the influence we have over our families, Lord, they would follow us too, because they know that we wouldn't be leading them astray. They would know we're not leading them into the ditch, but that we're leading them into a closer relationship with you. Father, if there's one, even one, that's ready to make a decision, ready to make some changes, I say, let's pray about it. And if there's one that would like to leave here, born again, heaven bound, knowing that they've been saved from sin, Father, you invite them to come too. And I'll show them what your word says about how they can be saved from the eternal penalty of sin. Father, thank you for saving our souls and providing us with salvation. Lord, we love you. And I pray that there are those here today who'd receive that gift in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's sing.
Turn all of our baptism candidates can go ahead and go back and start getting ready. Thank you.